So, how many of you saw the Facebook post about there's a special announcement this morning? Okay, good. Some of you don't have the first idea what I'm talking about. Those of you who are visiting here with us this morning, let me just say, this is not going to be our normal service. I'm not going to preach so much today, but we have an announcement that we need to make to the congregation today, and it's important for everybody at CA and everybody that's affiliated with CA. So thank you very much for being here this morning. And let me just jump right into it. So a while back, I told our church here, I told you all, that I felt like God had put me on the clock as far as being the senior pastor here at Christian Assembly. And at the time, I felt like the Lord told me, you know, I had 2 years, maybe three at the outside. Well, you know, time flies whether you're having fun or not. And so things were just going along, and we were doing our thing, and you know, I'm sure those of you who knew that, you know, were thinking, okay, you know, that's going to happen at some point in the future. And I guess that's what I was thinking. And then back in March, I got a message from someone with a prophetic word that said, I think it's time for us to start looking for the next pastor at CA. And I was like, okay. So I started going back through my notes to see when was that the Lord spoke to me, and when did I tell you all that? Guess how long it had been? 2 years. No, not three yet. Two. Bless God, I'm not totally in disobedience to God's word yet. Okay, so it'd been 2 years, and I'm like, oh my. Okay, well, time to do that. And George Stevens was not here the week that I told the elders that. And he came the next week. And he said, you know, and he didn't, and we hadn't talked about this, he didn't know. He said, you know, I was out working my route this week, and he said, I'm stocking things in one of the machines, and suddenly the Lord just spoke to me. He said, Dub, he said, tell Dub it's time for him to step down. I was like, well, that might be God. Okay, so so in order to be obedient to the Lord, what we're doing is we're going to work through a transition period. I'm planning on transitioning out as the pastor of Christian Assembly next April. So we're going to have a nice, long, leisurely, orderly transition. And that's the plan right now. Now, your question might be, who is the next pastor of Christian Assembly? The answer to that is, we don't yet know. So you're going to have to pray. Oh, my. And figure out what the Lord's going to do. Now, there's some other things that the Lord has told us to do to help facilitate all of this. I am about to turn 62. I'm about to turn 62. That's how old I'm about to turn. And that makes me an elder to most of you, okay? And the elders of our church, with the exception of Brett Spires, the elders of our church are probably elder than most of all of you, right? So there needs to be not just a transition of just the pastorate. There also needs to be a transition of succession as far as the leadership of the church. And so the elders began praying, and well, we'd actually been praying about this for a couple of years, but we felt like that the Lord has shown us something. And so I would like to ask all the elders to come up, if you would, including our newest additions, if you guys would come. We're going to be adding, you know, the guys that have been elders. We're going to be adding Jamil Johnson and Ben Shack to the elder team here at Christian Assembly. Yes. Now, let me just say, if any of you knows why Jamil or Ben should not be elders here at Christian Assembly, feel free to come and tell us. We don't know of anything that's going on with these guys other than they follow the Lord really well. And they meet all the, we believe they meet all the qualifications of elders. So the plan is that we're going to bring these guys on in the very near future. We're going to be installing new deacons, and at the same time, we're going to be installing these two guys as elders as well. Okay, laying hands on them. They'll officially become part. They're already meeting with the team. And the idea is that between Brett and these two guys, they're going to take the lead on taking the church forward into the future. It only makes sense that those who are going to be responsible going forward need to be the ones that are doing that. Now, the other guys, we're all going to be meeting together as an eldership team. We will all be providing all the counsel and guidance and everything that we have. But the fact is that some of these decisions really need to rest on the younger guys. And so that is our, that's our plan going forward. So that's the big announcement this morning, okay? And we're looking, like I said, we're looking to transition and install a new pastor next April. There are obviously still a lot of things that have to be sorted out about all this, and we expect everyone in here to provide your feedback and input about all of this. Okay, we're going to need that. This is not just something that, you know, a bunch of guys go in a room and figure out, right? This is something we all must do together because we are the family of God. And I'm going to be talking about that in just a minute. So, this is your elder lineup going forward from here. And then we'll see what happens next spring. But that's kind of where we're headed. So, there's the big announcement. Ta-da. Does anybody have any questions that they would like to ask at this point? And we may or may not have the answers to those. Can they remain on the deacon board? No, they cannot. Sorry. and as a matter of fact, Ben is coordinating with the deacons right now as far as our new board of deacons that will be coming on in June. Yes, ma'am. That's a good question. She's asking, will our oversight still come from Michael Cotton? We've been talking with Michael about all this, and he's, by the way, he's firmly on board. He couldn't be here today because he's up in New York. Some of you may know Craig McLeod. He's transitioning out of the pastorate today there and transitioning to a new pastor. So Michael is there today. So Michael is, he knows all of this. He's on board with all this. We don't know what that's going to look like. One of the things that that Christian Assembly has now that it's going to change a little bit in the future is that for a long time we were part of Grace Churches International, a network of churches. And we have all those relationships, even though the network is not there anymore. We still have all those relationships. Plus, there's Durham Ministers in Prayer here in town. We have relationships there. So we don't feel like we're a church that's just hanging out there by ourselves. But the thing is, when I say we have the relationships, I'm mostly talking the older guys. Now, Brett was around for quite a bit of that, and he knows a bunch of people working through Warcry and that. But these guys, not so much. Ben knows a few people because they were in Grace Churches International when they were in, where were you? Roanoke Rapids? Yeah. And so there's a question about the oversight. There's a question about, how are we going to network together with other churches and continue to work together in the larger body of Christ. So those are things we got to work through. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. I don't know what that's going to look like. That's really going to be their decision. Okay? So what we're saying is the current elders, we're going to be here through the whole transition process, and they're going to make the decision about who the new elder board will be. As far as getting rid of us, just try. I may be old, but, I can still take some of you. We're going to be here, but we don't know what the new elder board is going to look like come next year. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. That's definitely one of the things that we are looking at right now. Yeah. The question was, if we need to, are we going to look elsewhere to bring in a pastor? Are we going to bring someone from outside the church? We're not sure how that's going to work. Those options are certainly open right now, and so we'll see. Keep praying. That's right. Says my mom. Yes, sir. Well, okay, again, that's going to be their decision. There's a lot of different thoughts about that, you know, in churches, whether the old pastor should stay or not, because sometimes the old guy just can't help but meddle and get in the way. And have you met me? So I want to give them the flexibility to be able to do whatever it is that they need to do. I would certainly like to stay. This is my family. I've been here since 1985. But, you know, I'm going to do what's in the best interest. First of all, we're going to do what the Lord wants. I promise you that. We've noticed this, yes. What's that bumblebee thing, Dick? It doesn't. Yeah. Not supposed to fly? Yeah. Yeah, we understand that, okay? So, I know. You know, when Paul passed away and I transitioned in, the advice that we got was that I was supposed to ask all the current elders to step down and pick a different elder board. We did not do that because that wasn't the Lord. It just wasn't. And it would have been really bad for the church. So we're not locked into anything. We're really trying to seek God and follow His will on all of this. Bill? That's not decided yet. I'm stepping down as pastor. Everything else is kind of in flux. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, it'll be their decision basically to choose the new elder board. The new elder board, yeah. Which may be the old elders, but, you know, and the pastor. Yeah, it's 10 months. Yeah. You can't get rid of me that quickly. I'm sure you're sad about that. Yes, sir. Yeah, please. You want the mic?
So, I was just thinking as all...
It's on.
All the questions were coming, is that... that we know who has the answers, and that's the great thing. And I was just going to encourage us, you know, as we commit to pray about this whole process, that we start right now. So if we could just stand, everybody stand up, and just extend your hands towards this group, because God has really provided an amazing group of guys here. And let's just pray for God's wisdom and direction, and that it will go according to His process and His will. Father God, we thank You so much for the leadership that You have placed in this family, Lord God, placed among us, Lord God, and for how they have followed You, Lord God, and listened to Your heart. And Father, Lord, for all these questions, Lord God, that will be coming up, God, we trust You, God, to move amongst those that You have put in charge, Lord God, to hear Your voice, to hear Your heart, Father, and we just look forward to an awesome transition, Lord God. Father, that You will be glorified, Lord God, and that Your kingdom will grow, Father, and expand. Lord, thank You, Father, for them hearing Your heart, for them moving according to your voice, Lord God. And we just stand with Him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. You can be seated. So, I'm not going to preach this morning, but I do want us to read some scripture together. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them out. And we're going to begin in Romans chapter 12. We're talking a lot about the leadership of the church this morning, but the leadership is only one part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, leaders are chosen by God. They're called to fulfill certain purposes, but so is everyone else. And so I want you to be encouraged this morning, and I want us to go through some scriptures together so that you will know, too, this is not just one of those situations where, you know, a bunch of leaders are making a decision. We get to sit back and decide whether we like it or not, you know, and all that sort of thing. But you play a very key part in all of this. Romans chapter 12 starts in, we're going to start in verse 4. And we're going to be talking about the body of Christ. Now, I'm not going to build a theological premise here, but you've got to understand that when the Apostle Paul writes, he understands that the church has a general understanding that they are the body of Christ, his physical body at work here on earth, okay? And so here it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us by God, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer." Those are good instructions for us right now as we go through this transition. And as you look through that list up there, you may say, "Well, I'm not sure what my spiritual gifts are." I hear this a lot, you know, from Christians. "I'm not sure what my spiritual gifts are." If you go through that list up there, do you see anything that you identify with, anything that you feel called to do or that you enjoy doing? Well, I want to encourage you, you've got to do that. We need all of the gifts at work in the church, okay? Now, if you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start reading in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." And then he begins to describe what that means, Jews or Greeks. I want you to understand that in their lexicon, that's everybody. That was the whole world. Those were the only two designations they really had. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. So he's not just talking about ethnicity, Jews or Greeks. He's also talking about social standing, anything that would divide us, slave or free. "We were baptized into one body and were all made to drink of one Spirit," the Holy Spirit, when we were saved. "For the body does not consist of many members, of one member, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand and do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Well, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, well, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." And I want you to be confident in this, always, that it's God who arranges the people in the body of Christ, people in the church, exactly as he wills, exactly as he chooses. "If all were a single member, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't have any need of you.'" How many times have we seen this in the church where people just went, "You know what, I don't need that person. I just don't need them anymore. I don't need that church. I think I'll find another one. I don't need..." You understand what I'm talking about? And where is God in the midst of that? Is it God who chooses where people are supposed to be in the body of Christ? Is it us? It's God. "So the eye can't say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor if again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary," listen, "the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." This speaks of the humility that we must have in the body of Christ. The parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. Folks, let me tell you how important this is. It's always been important in the Church of Jesus Christ. And over the years, unfortunately, we have seen so many divisions, so many schisms come into the body of Christ. And I really believe that at this time, God is calling His church back together. We see it happening on a global basis where God is calling His church back together. It doesn't mean that we're all the same. It doesn't mean that we have necessarily all the same doctrinal stands or any of that stuff. What it does mean is that we all belong to one body, the body of Christ, and we cannot willfully choose to be divided and be in the will of God. But that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, and as I read this list, I want you to think of this not in terms of a hierarchy of church government. I want you to think of this in terms of the benefit that God puts into the church for the building up of the body in love. Not worth, but that benefit of building up the body together in love. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? What's the answer to that? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Wish we did. Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all prophesy? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts or the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And you know what chapter 13 says that way is. It's the way of love. And the last verse says, now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. See, the thing is, the body of Christ has two things that we ought to be focused on. It's not just the head. It's also got to be the heart. And God focuses on our heart as much as He does on the head. Let's skip over now to Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7. I'm going to bring this home in just a minute. Ephesians 4, starting verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Can God be divided? No. He's over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, which is a lot. Now, go on to verse 11. It says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, or the pastors, some of those read, and the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's our proper role. Not to be the be-all, end-all leaders. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I believe we're going to see that before His return. We're going to see the bride of Christ, beautiful, without spot or wrinkle, measuring up to the fullness of the measure of Christ before He returns, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, We're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Folks, that is always the future of the church. That growth, we are being built up in love. Who is the head? It's Jesus, right? It's not the pastor, not the apostle, not the prophet. It's Jesus, right? So, I don't want to torture this analogy too much about the body of Christ. But let's say I want my little finger to do something, right? So, I want it to, I don't know, whatever it's going to do. My little finger doesn't do that much, okay? But I want my little finger to do something. Does my little finger have to report to the knuckle before it does anything? Does it have to ask for permission from the knuckle to do anything? Does it have to ask for permission from the wrist or the elbow or the shoulder or my neck? Where does this get its instruction from? Right here. Do you know that that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work? Now see, God gives us a structure. I mean, without a framework, if I didn't have a skeleton, I'd just be a big blob of goo here on the floor, and I wouldn't be able to do much of anything. So He gives us structure. That's what He does. God is a God of organization. He gives us structure, but where do we get the direction from, the instruction from? It's here, right? It comes from the head. It comes from Jesus, and your connection, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, your connection is directly with Jesus Christ, the head of His church. You always have that connection directly to Him. And that's where we get our instruction from. Now, if we're all listening to the Lord and following His instructions, guess what's going to happen? The body's all going to work properly, and it will be built up together, and not just built up together physically. It'll be built up together, what does the Scripture say, in love. Again, it's the head and the heart. You know, Jesus didn't come to fulfill the law perfectly so that then we could walk by the law. It's not what He did. He saved us by grace through faith and gave us that gift so that we could have that relationship with Him who is the head, so that we can take our instruction from Him, and so that we can truly love one another. Just as the Father has been telling us here this morning, if you didn't get it in worship, the Lord's telling us, I love you in the same way that I love my Son, in exactly the same way. That's the kind of love that we have from God. And that's the kind of love that we are capable of having for one another. And so it's got to be the head and the heart working together. So as we go through this process, I want you to keep those things in mind and understand that you, each one of you, are an indispensable part of the body of Christ. And for those of you who are here at CA, you are an indispensable part of the body of Christ. We are not independent from one another. We need each other. And the one thing that we really need to be doing is we need to be praying, because we need to know the Lord's will. We need to get our instructions from the head. And I'm not talking about my cabeza or anybody else's. I'm talking about from Jesus Christ Himself. Because believe me, this is His church, and this is His idea, and this is His plan. And He has great plans and purposes for Christian Assembly in the future. I am so excited and encouraged. I can't tell you how blessed I am at the leadership that has been raised up in this church. And for each one of you and everything that you do to advance the kingdom of God in every way that God has called you to do it. You are an awesome family of God. I'm very excited for Christian Assembly, and I hope you are too. Amen? Amen. All right. Before we take communion this morning, I would like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a well-known portion of Scripture, and we use this a lot to set up communion. And it says this. Paul's writing to them. He says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." There are three things that I want you to think about as you come to the communion table this morning that come from these scriptures. Every time we come to the communion table and we consider this scripture, there are three things that we need to be thinking about. The first is that we're called to look back. We're called to look back and reflect and remember what Jesus has done for us. When we take the cup, when we take the bread, we are remembering what Jesus has done for us, the sacrifice that he made on our behalf and the power of God that came forth in that sacrifice to cleanse us and make us worthy of taking the communion meal together with him in his kingdom. So the first is to look back. The second is to look within. You can see here in verses 27 through 29, we're called to let a person examine himself then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So as we come to the table, we need to not just look back, we need to look within. God would ask us before we come to the table to reflect on the areas in our life that may not be pleasing to God. And if we see those, if the Spirit reveals those to us, then we need to take those to him. We need to confess those things to him. We need to repent and turn away from those as we come to the table. So we look back, we look within, and the third thing we do is we look ahead. Every time we take this cup, every time we take this communion meal, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again, and he is coming. So as you come to the table this morning to take communion, please keep those things in mind. Look back. Remember what the Lord has done. Look within and ask the Lord to cleanse you of anything that might be impure in your life so that you can come holy and pure before him. And then look ahead. Remember, as you take this communion cup, we are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for this Lord's Supper. We thank you for this communion meal, this koinonia, that draws us together. There's nobody else that does this. People don't sit around in their living rooms and have communion meals that don't know Jesus. They don't have any communion with you. They don't have any fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, you gave us this so that we would always remember and that this would be a declaration to us and to the world that you are coming again. Lord, as we take this meal together this morning as a family, we ask you, Lord God, please go before us and be in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bring out the tables and take communion.